sitting there when he asked that question, as if anybody has a mother living in another country. I don't know how many of us could have claimed that one. There was a lot of us who could have claimed that one. My mother emigrated just 30 years ago this month. My father went away 20 years before her, and she followed on 20 years after him. So he's been there for 50 years now, and she's been there for 30 years. In a land where the roses never fade. In a place where there's no cemeteries, no tax collectors, no crime, no prison. Wouldn't you like to live there? I've got my passport all set. My visa's ready, stamped. The only thing I don't know is I can't read the date on it. But I'm going there someday to a place that's called heaven. Wouldn't you like to be there? Wouldn't you like to be sure you're going there someday? I suppose there are a number of you here today whose mothers are in heaven. You're longing to see them someday. Before my mother went, just a few weeks before it, lying on her deathbed. By the way, I should say this, I never heard her grumble, never heard her complain, although she lay in bed for 12 years, never heard her complain, unless you could call this a complaint. Last time I saw her alive, she said, I'm getting tired. I wish the Lord would just take me home. And from 2 weeks she was away, she was in the glory. I wonder how many of you are ready and willing, ready to go. Now, since you're thinking of mothers, I want to read to you today quite a number of scriptures. Quite a number of them. Here your Bibles with you. You can follow me through in the reading of these verses. And if not, take a mental note of them and look them up when you go home. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, book of Exodus, chapter 20, we'll get our first reading. Verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I want you to take note of that first statement, honor thy father and thy mother. That's a precept, a commandment, followed by a promise. Now I want you to turn over to the first book of Samuel. First book of Samuel. Chapter 1. First Samuel chapter 1, verse 26. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed. The Lord has given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. That means I have returned him to the one that gave him to me. I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Now look at chapter 2 and verse 18. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat, brought it to him from year to year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Now look at chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 20. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. The Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now I want you to turn over to the New Testament, Paul's letter to Timothy. Epistle to Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And now the same epistle, but chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father, we acknowledge thee again, the giver of every good and every perfect gift. Now we do ask that by thy Holy Spirit thou shalt touch all our hearts, bring conviction to each soul today, and lay a fresh trophy at the Savior's feet. We'll be careful to give thee the glory in his precious name. Amen. Now it's a good thing, it has been suggested, that we should pay some honor not only to mothers but to fathers. For I read that commandment to you from Exodus chapter 20. A lot of people know some of the commandments, but no, it says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, etc., etc. But how many remember it says, honor thy father and thy mother? A number of years ago, I was conducting a special series of meetings in a city in the north, really in Michigan. And I was teaching the children at a large Sunday school. A lot of children. I was teaching the children to sing that chorus, which I also taught the children here some years ago. Honor thy father and mother. This God commanded of old. Love one as much as the other, doing it once as you're told. One of the men there came to me. He said, Mr. McNeil, we are enjoying your preaching. We're enjoying these special meetings, but I've been asked to bring to you a special request. He says, what is it? He says, the request that you do not sing that chorus, honor your father and mother. I says, is there anything wrong with it? Is it unscriptural? No, he said, but it is an embarrassment to the Sunday school teacher. I said, in what way? He says, when the children went to the classroom, he says they were asking awkward questions at the teacher. I looked at him and said, awkward question, yes. He said, you see, some of the children were asking, how could they honor their father and mother if they don't know where their mother is? They're living with their father and their mother went out and left them years ago. Or how could they honor their father and mother if they don't know who their father is? They're living with the mother. And some of the children, he says, in the Sunday school, don't know either father or mother. They're living in homes for these orphans. or disbanded children. I said, I see. But I said, there's nothing wrong with the truth of the chorus, is there? No, but it's an embarrassment. Might I say to this congregation this morning, it's a great pity if the truth of the Word of God is an embarrassment. For nothing has gone wrong with the Word of God. It abides. It's eternally fixed. When God lays down a principle, He lays it down like a solid foundation. And the Bible has never changed. Honor thy father and thy mother. So says the Word of God, not only in the Old Testament, but you'll find it again referred to at least 3 times in the New Testament. If it becomes an embarrassment to us, something has gone wrong with us and not with the Word of God. You do not try to get the Word of God and adjust it to fit in with our manner of life or our way of thinking. If there is anything wrong between the two, we've got to adjust to bring ourselves into line with what the Word of God teaches. And it still says, honor thy father and thy mother. Number of years ago, in a town in Fifeshire in Scotland, the town of Cowdenbeath, something happened. There's 3 streets that meet there at what's known as the fountain. And right in the center of where those 3 streets come in, there's the old fountain. In the days when there were horses, you know, they would have a horse trough there as well, where the horses could get a drink. Now that used to be a kind of gathering center on a Saturday night with a shop up each side of the street. But there was a group of Christians used to go out and congregate over there in the center at the fountain and hold a street meeting. The people would stand on the sidewalk on the various streets. One night they were there and a good crowd of people thronging the sidewalk listening to the preaching and the singing. There was a man there by the name of Tommy Bona. You, Tommy, fine fellow. He was an uneducated man, you would say, just a plain old piper, as we knew him. Left school just as early as he could in order to go and work in the coal mines, in order to contribute something to the household budget. But Tommy got converted. And he used to stand there on the Saturday night at that street meeting and occasionally would give a word of testimony or preach a word in the gospel. One night he was there preaching, and in the crowd came down the street an old woman, or an elderly woman, I should say, and she was intoxicated. She's pushing her way through the crowds of people, getting forward to the front, and she's talking away all the time. And then she lost her balance and she fell in the gutter. The people standing around began to speak about her, call her for all kinds of names, using all the adjectives they could find. And in that part of the country, they have a lot of them. Perhaps you wouldn't understand some of the words they use. They're decrying this old drunken wretch. Tommy Bona stopped preaching. He crossed right over the road and he helped the old woman to her feet. And he licked his arm in her. The people said, don't bother about her, let her alone. She's just this and that and the next thing. Called her for all the names they could think of. Tommy Bona linked his arm in her arm, helped her to her feet and was taking her away as they were saying all sorts of things and telling him to let her alone. The police would come and get her. He turned to them. He said, she's my mother. She's my mother. to tell me that any Saturday night after that, when Tommy Bonner sets out to preach the gospel, people stood and listened. The person at UM told me that said, Bill, the people in that area say this, if there's a Christian in Cowden Beach, it's Tommy Bonner. He had a testimony. You say, well, should he have honored a drunken old wretch of a woman? Tommy Bonner said, she's my mother. She's my mother. I tell you this, when the scripture says, honor thy father and thy mother, it means it. It doesn't mean you just honor them because you like them. It doesn't mean you honor them because they do something special for you. It doesn't mean that you honor them because they're well respected in the area. It means you honor your father and mother. Irrespective of anything else, here is the principle laid down. Respect, honor your father and your mother. That being so, I've drawn your attention in our reading today to two young lads who honored their mothers. The first one is taken from the Old Testament. The second one from the New Testament. He was Samuel. Samuel was a child of a praying mother. She was accused of being drunk. Old Eli accused her of being intoxicated. She said, no, I'm not intoxicated. I'm pouring out my soul to the Lord. They couldn't hear a word. Her lips moved, but there was no sound. Her heart was moving. Here was a woman who had looked around. She saw the awful state, the awful condition of a nation. She had no child. She said, this nation needs a man. Oh, if only I could be the mother of that man. If only God would make me a mother. If I could have a man child, I would recover him. I'd give him to the Lord for the Lord to use him. So down she goes on her knees and she prays. Pulled out her soul to the Lord. The Lord heard and answered. And Samuel was born. He was the child of a praying mother. And you know, she gave him back to the Lord according to her promise. Young Samuel was called of God at an early age. I want you to note this very carefully. There was an old priest there by the name of Eli. Eli had sons, and his sons were not acting the way they should have acted. They were doing things they should not have been doing. They were acting in a sinful way. And God bypassed old Eli. Because you know he failed to rebuke his son. And God passed by the sons of Eli. And he called young Samuel, the child of the praying mother. And God called that young fellow at an early age. And he hardly understood that it was God that was calling him. He thought it was Eli. And Eli didn't understand. He thought the boy was dreaming. And at last it dawned on Eli, it's God that's calling him. And he said to Samuel, now when he calls again, say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And at an early age, he gave his ear to what God had to say to him. Child of a praying mother called to God. I want to ask you. You know perfectly well your mother prays for you or she's praying for you. When God called you, how did you respond? How did you act? when the call of God came to you, and the message of God was brought home to your heart, did you respond like Samuel and say, "Speak, Lord, I'm ready to hear. Speak, thy servant heareth." Did you know that boy began to grow? His mother went to see him up at Shiloh every year. And she took something for him every year. She took him a present. Not a toy to play with. Not something to spoil him, but something that's most significant. All the years she was working. Working with her needle and her thread and her material. And every year when she went up, she took him a new coat. Now you mothers, how often have you looked at your little boy or your little girl and you said, that coat you were wearing last year won't do you this year, it's too short. You're growing. Now, you don't complain when your children grow. You like to see them growing. You know, just as we like to see growth in the physical, we like to see growth in the spiritual. And here it's most significant, little Samuel, who was given a return to the Lord and was spending his time in the Shiloh, in the tabernacle, under old Eli's guidance, supposed to be, he was growing. And every year his mother went to see him, she took him a new coat. In plain words, he was a boy who was not only the child of a praying mother. Why? He was cared for by an industrious mother. I want to appeal to all us here today, every one of us. Have we ever taken time to sit down and seek to assess correctly what our mother did for us? When you were sick, so the mother's hand was laid on your brow. When you were in need, it was a mother that cared for you. When you went in to eat, it was a mother that spread the table, took the meal. Do we just take such things for granted? Or do we give thanks to God for the care of an industrious mother? Ah, but here was a boy who was consecrated to the service of God. He honored his mother. His mother said, "Give me that boy and I'll return him again to you." She did. But he was a lad who took up the challenge. When God spoke to him, he responded to the voice of God. And his life was consecrated to the service of God. He became a prophet in Israel. He became a judge in Israel. At a time when the nation was in need, he became what one man called God's emergency man for the occasion. He became the prophet in order to give God's message to the people. He became a judge in Israel, able to decide the issues of that day. May I suggest Samuel was a man who in his life honored his mother. I've often wondered, I know she sang a great song of praise at the time. I'm wondering what she thought later on when she saw her boy grow up, become a young man, and take his position there when it was known all over the country that he was a prophet in Israel. I've often wished I could have gone into the room again and heard his mother. I wish we had the record of what she said when her boy grew up to the stage where she honored him, where he honored her, and where he honored God with his life. What are we doing? Are we like Samuel? Do we give ourselves entirely to God, ready to serve him with the life you've given us? And we come over now to the New Testament for a moment or two. Here's another man. You might have said, oh, that was all right away back in these days. There's nothing else to do. It's all the new. All right? When you come to the New Testament, here's a young fellow called Timothy. And you know, Timothy had a kind of poor start in life, the same as Samuel. Remember, Samuel didn't have an easy start in life. Samuel was born into a broken home. There was trouble in the home. He didn't have it easy. When you come over to the New Testament and you consider Timothy, Timothy's mother was a Jewess. But she must have been a Jewess of the dispersion. She wasn't living in Palestine. She wasn't living in Jerusalem. She was living up in the part of the world today we call Turkey, Asia Minor. But it seems her mother was there as well. And it would always appear from the reading of the scripture that they lived together. And you're told very little about his father. We don't even know his father's name. But this much we do know. We know his nationality. His father was a Greek. And his mother was a Jewess. Now it's obvious that in these days, in Turkey, that this man would be brought up under the sort of cloud of idolatry. He'd be watching some of the idols. Does he worship the idols? You wonder how in all the world he ever came into contact with a young Jewess. But they did. They got married. And here, young Timothy is the fruit of the marriage. Now, what's going to happen? Will he be dragged under the cloud of idolatry, or will he be taught the law of God? Well, his own grandmother knew what to do, and his mother knew what to do. Perhaps when the father was out working, the grandmother and the mother had to take charge. And we learn from the New Testament, from Paul's letter to him, that he was taught the Holy Scriptures from the time he was a child. That is, he was taught the Holy Word. And in the Holy Word, there would be the Ten Commandments. And young Timothy would be taught, honor thy father and thy mother. He would learn that from the time he was a little boy. He would have to stand there and face his grandmother and his mother, and he would have to recite the 10 words. And amongst them would be these words, honor thy father and thy mother. He also was a child then of God-fearing parents, or a grandmother and a mother. And these two would be able to teach him the things of God. But I learned something more about him. I learned that as a teenager, he trusted Christ as his Savior. Now, when Paul writes to him, he reminds him that he has known the Holy Scriptures from the time he was a child, and he goes on to say, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Now, the things he had been taught by his grandmother and by his mother. One day, the preachers came along. They preached the gospel, and what the preachers preached fitted in with what his grandmother and his mother had taught him. And that young fellow trusted Christ. You see, Paul speaks of him as being his son in the faith. And if he was Paul's son in the faith, it seems to reach this conclusion, he must have been converted during Paul's first missionary visit. That's when he went with Barnabas. When Paul went on his second missionary tour, along with Silas, he came back to the same place and found young Timothy now developing, and a man who was well reported of, not only in his own city, but throughout the whole area. In different places, they knew this young man as being capable of preaching and ministering the word of God, a helper not only in his own local church, but throughout the area. He was well spoken of. And Paul said, this is a young fellow. We would have to go with us. So you see, there are steps or stages in his life. What's the background? He's taught the Holy Word by his grandmother and his mother. These things are embedded in his heart and mind. There comes a time when the preachers come along, they preach the glorious gospel. He hears it. It corresponds with what he's been taught. He exercises faith in Christ, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. And he exercised faith in Christ. And that's the time when he was born again. Ah, but now when the preachers come back, he would have them to go with them because he's well commended by the Christians. He leaves home and out he goes to live a consecrated life. He becomes an evangelist and a teacher. He moved around with the great Apostle Paul and Dr. Luke. He's in good company now. He's grown up, but the influence of his mother and his grandmother is still there. Now he goes out with those great men, the Apostle Paul, Dr. Luke, and Silas, and young Timothy. He was the youngest of the four. And now he goes in their evangelistic tours. And when Paul wrote his letter to him, he says, now Timothy, preach the word. Do the work of an evangelist. And so he's still doing evangelistic work and preaching the evangelistic message when Paul was in prison and ready to die. He's writing his letter of encouragement to his young friend, who by that time had grown up to be about 40 years of age, exercising himself in doing the work of the Lord. Then again, he had certain assignments that were given to him, difficult assignments. One of them, Paul left him in the city of Ephesus. And in that city of Ephesus, he had certain things to do. When you go through Paul's first letter to Timothy, you'll find in every chapter there was a difficulty to be faced. But Timothy now is capable of dealing with those difficulties. And he carried through his assignment. Now let me say this as I apply it to all our hearts today. If we're going to honor our mothers, think back. Some of you had godly mothers. Perhaps others hadn't. I had a godly mother, a godly father. But my father didn't have a godly mother or a godly father. My grandparents were far from that. But this much I can remember. I've heard the report. My father continued to honor his mother. His father died very young. I didn't remember him. But my father still remembered his mother, did what he could to help her, although she was not a godly woman. She also had turned to the alcohol. She was up in life and ruined the home. And still he did his best for her. But some of you have had godly parents who have prayed for you and they've wept for you and perhaps they've wept with you and they've wept because of you. They've presented your case to the Lord and asked the Lord to come in and save you, to change your life, to make you like Samuel or to make you like Timothy. For both of these men became men of God. That's what we want to be. What an honor to ourselves if we become men of God and give our life in consecration to God. I tell you now what I was going to tell you at the beginning and I didn't. I stopped. When my mother was on her deathbed, she took my oldest brother aside. He's the only one of our family that's not saved. He's now 77 years of age. She took him by the hand. She says, Tom, I'm ready to go, and I'll go any day now, and I know that I'll meet all the others again. You're the only one, she said, that I'm worried about. says, will you give me your pledge and you'll meet me in heaven? He held out my mother's hand and he said, Jazz, don't worry about me. All right, I'll meet you in heaven. That's 30 years ago. He's never yet trusted the Lord, as far as I know. He's now 77 years of age. Out of six of a family, he's the only one that up till now hasn't trusted the Lord. We still hope. As long as this side of eternity, we hope we'll trust the Lord and pray for him daily. What about you, my friend? What about you? Perhaps you've got loved ones in the glory. They left you long ago. You saw the seats being emptied. They ask you, will the circle be complete up there? Or will you be missing? What's it to be? Will you trust the Savior? Honor your parents? Honor Christ? Bow at his feet. Make this the day in your life when the change will take place. Shall we pray? Our Father, we commit to thee thy word, read and spoken. Souls need to be saved. We thank thee that there's a man in the glory today who is both able, willing to save, able to change lives, able to give the power for each one to live a new life. Oh God, by thy Holy Spirit, speak now. We'll give thee all the glory in the Savior's name. Amen. Glory, sing two verses of a hymn in closing.